Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
Joe, I am your GM here on Fifth Watch. You can follow me on Twitter at TheJoeHadfield, and you can check out my podcast, WTF Anime.
My name is Alan Sells, and I play Jace McGuire, God Ranger Blue Athena. You can find me at Alan_Sells on Twitter.
I'm Eli, I play Kronos, and you can find me on Twitter at TheVikingBear__. And be sure to check out my other shows, Hoof and Sword and SHU Podcast.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I play Mitch Carver, and you can find me on Twitter at WilkieWit.
Hello, my name is Raphael Johns. I'm playing Gwen Smith, Godsent in this, and you can find me as like Twitter at Eldritch Roth. Other than that, there's a Tumblr that I'm going to set up that you can follow. I haven't decided on the URL yet. I'm very beautiful. Thank you.
We join back up with Jace as he is headed away from the mall food court, navigating his way through the crowds. And Jace, what are you doing?
Jace's mind is very tumultuous right now. With the kiss, with just the way that Gwen was acting, it was all very strange. But he looks down and he rereads the text from Mars, and he pushes that aside, and he adopts the mantle of Athena. Just kind of the mindset of the Sentai, I can't worry about that right now. And so he switches from the text to the phone app, and he calls a number. And as he is walking through the door to the bathroom, Allie, can you meet me at the old train yard, please?
What's the occasion?
Trouble. Your favorite.
I'll see what I can do. Bit hold up here, but hold the fort down.
Thank you. I go into the bathroom, check and make sure that it's completely empty, take off my ascot, and throw it into the air and scream, "Ride to Olympus," and disappear, and hopefully reappear, not in the old train yard, but right outside of it, so I can kind of scope it out and wait for Allie to arrive.
We cut to the train yard where we kind of have the view of like this old, already abandoned train yard in lieu of like a much more nicer, modern, more commercial train yard. Like this is back when Halcyon City needed trains to move stuff around. This is when it was like an industry hub.
Mm-hmm.
It's raining outside. There's a bridge kind of passing over the entrance to the old train yard. And there is a blue flash as Athena arrives.
I'm not transformed yet. I do want to make that distinction. So the rain is soaking into my clothes, in my hair. I push it out of my eyes, but I kind of go very eagle-eyed detective mode. I'm looking for vehicles that shouldn't be here, things that look out of place, that kind of thing.
Something that does look out of place is a girl about your age, black, wearing jeans tucked into boots, very purposely cut up band t-shirt into a crop top. Wearing a leather jacket, and she's holding her head back and pinching the bridge of her nose like she's trying to stem a nosebleed. And she's kind of stood under the bridge to get out of the worst of the rain.
Do I see Allie around at all?
Not at the moment.
So I'm going to duck under the bridge, and I'm going to approach this girl. Hey, do you need help?
No, this just kind of happens a lot.
Well, I mean, I know some first aid. Do you want me to take a look? Is it bleeding? Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's stopped by now.
Oh, well, that's great to hear. Here. And he gets a white handkerchief out of his clothes that are slightly damp and hands it to her if you want to clean up.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Do you usually show up in Big Blue Flash?
Comes with the territory. I'd rather do this nicely. I really would. I have had a shitty day.
Well, we're just here, bottom of a bridge, if I can help. I kind of help people a lot.
Are you helping the other person that's in the old train yard? Why don't you invite them out for this conversation?
You know, I heard the rumors, but I didn't think you were that young.
Age doesn't mean anything to the gods.
Cool. She extends her hand and says, Epsky.
Athena. And Jace shakes her hand.
For the people inside, one of them's going to be very mad you're here. One of them might actually want to meet you. And then the rest probably think you look cool and have your merchandise.
I don't want to fight. That's not why I'm here.
We don't want to either.
Well, good. Maybe we can have a conversation, figure out what's going on, what you guys are doing here. But I will have to warn you, if you guys are doing anything that's going to put anyone in danger, I'm going to have to stop it. But you know that already.
Yeah. It's probably best if we just talk. Iris isn't really the talkative type, and Aiden would probably just bite your head off.
So what are you guys doing here, Sky?
Given all of the context you have for this, you probably are well in your right not to believe me, but we're saving kids.
You're right. I find that a difficult pill to swallow. But convince me.
What do you know about Stera?
God Ranger's aware of them.
So, you know by his reputation, what he does. There was a hub for his activity in Halcyon. And some people contacted me, and I told them I could help. And we have the fruits of that hiding out here until we can move them along. That's why Aiden and Iris have been out all across the city getting money and fuel and transportation.
You mean stealing money, fuel, and transportation?
Yeah, I was going to get onto they'll do it by any means necessary, but you are absolutely correct. And at the moment, we're kind of a halfway house for kids without parents, and we're trying to get them back, which is, and she kind of gestures at like the bloody handkerchief. It's why I've been a bit overtaxed.
Look, I know that this is going to come off as judgmental, and I'm sorry. Judgment is Hades. It's not me. Athena is wisdom, and there is wisdom in listening to both sides of a story. But if what you say is true, why have you not gone? Sure, not the authorities. The authorities can't do much. Bless them. They try. Why did you not turn to God Ranger? We can help you.
And that's the difficult part of this entire operation.
Is it?
I got brought in as help because I can know things.
Did you know I was coming?
You made a call.
Did you do something to her?
No, she is, as far as I know, on her way.
I just want to understand the situation. From what you've told me, you're trying to help kids. You haven't directly stated, so I'm not going to infer, but you have indicated that you're working against Sterile, which is good. Why can't you ask for help in this? Although you may be the wrong person to ask that question to if you were brought in to help. I want to help people too. And if you're saving people, that is a worthy thing to do.
It's really funny getting the two sides of this. Aiden thinks you guys are monsters. It's actually really, really funny to hear him go off on you. But there is past trauma there, so he wouldn't ever ask help from you.
We're warriors. We are banded together to fight for good on this planet. It pains me that someone views us as monsters, but it does not surprise me.
You really are one of the good guys. I like that.
I try.
You're not going to get much out of him, but I could try.
That's all I can ask for.
Okay. Do you still need her as backup?
I'd like her here.
Okay.
Because again, if I can show these people that we're not monsters, Ama Tesseru is a good soul. She is the guardian of stewardship. If anyone would understand what you're doing, it's Ama Tesseru.
I guess we just hang out in the rain for her to arrive then.
Hopefully she won't be long.
So there is this bright orange flash, and as it kind of clears from each of your eyes, Alan, you have the best handle on this. What does Emma Tesseru look like?
Emma Tesseru's armor, where Jace's is very Grecian, hers is very Japanese. You know, kind of paneled armor, a katana at her side. She looks like she stepped off the field of an, I think it's Edo period, and she looks ready for war.
So she kind of arrives like in a 3-point landing, like hand already at the katana, and takes a look around.
Emma Tesseru, I think we're going to try to talk.
And that's why you pulled me in?
I didn't think it was going to be this way, but I would still like to have you at my side.
As she stands up, the armor kind of glows orange and kind of falls away, just to reveal a very tall woman with blonde hair, kind of short with an undercut, just wearing suit trousers and button-up shirt, no shoes on, just kind of barefoot walking across the gravel. Sky raises a hand and says, "Hey, heard you were coming."
She knew you were coming.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing.
We need to have cards on the table.
Okay, if it helps. I've been able to do this since I was about 7. I can hear and pick out anything over a cell phone frequency. Not quite test the limits. Sometimes it gets to be a bit much, especially when I'm having to keep tabs on multiple people. Hence, you know, what you saw earlier.
Now, take us to Iris and Aiden. Maybe we can prove that we're not the monsters that they think we are. And he gives Emma Tesseru a significant look.
She kind of nods back, and this guy says, "Right, I'll lead you to her. Like I say, I think Iris might actually like to see you. She probably didn't get the chance to say thanks."
As we're walking in, I fill Emma Tesseru in on everything that Sky has told me thus far. About Sterile, about what they're doing, his targets, that kind of thing.
You definitely notice, like, Allie visibly tense when you start talking about Sterile. As you two are walking, she, in interior, says, "We've had enough dealings with him. Some of us especially.
If we can bring allies to our side, maybe this will be worth it. If not, I'm ready for a fight if you are."
For the first time, she kind of quirks a smile and says, like, "Always." So Sky has kind of led you past like a bunch of shipping containers. There's what would be like the old conductor's office. And you can already start to see decorations almost, but almost like a refugee camp.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see like the faces of a few kids just kind of peering around the shipping containers and the old buildings.
By Athena's holy light, how many of them are there?
23.
And Jace, again, looks at Allie with a very significant look and continues to walk after Sky.
She leads you up to this conductor's office. "I'm going to do what I can, just to make sure. No, I'm pretty sure he's good about setting an example for the kids." And she just opens the door. And immediately, like, what you see is stacks of plastic cases, just all kind of stacked up against one wall. There is a map of the United States and one of Europe that has several pins in them with post-its of additional information. You see some kids' names and perhaps like potential leads that they might have on finding families. Also in the room is Aiden and a girl with long, like raven black hair and emerald eyes pulling this like green leather hood off and removing a mask. And you can see that it's the girl you fought at Brazen's funeral. It's the girl you saw at prom. And apparently this is Iris.
And Jace holds up his hands. "I do not come looking for a fight. I come seeking knowledge. I come with an offer to help. There is wisdom in listening to two sides of a story. And I've only heard one side, Aiden. I want to hear yours." And his hands are up, like away from his ascot. "Allow me to introduce God Ranger Emma Tesseru Orange."
She steps into the building, gives a short bow, and Aiden this whole time has just been like eyes locked on you. When Ali walks in, like the gaze flickers and there's the hint of some almost recognition.
I'm the guardian of wisdom. She is the guardian of stewardship. We want to help you, Aiden.
I think we're good. We got everything we wanted. This is going to turn into a thing. Just keep kids safe, yeah?
We want to help you in your mission to keep them safe. You wouldn't have to steal anymore.
What after that? You let me go?
More than likely, you would seek the judgment of the court, but I personally would defend you. Because sometimes you have to do what you must in order to do what is right. I'm offering you a different way.
This ain't fair on you. And he puts his fingers to his temples and I'm going to need a minute.
Of course.
And walks past you, basically to head outside. The door closed behind you. Iris has just, once she kind of removed the hood and like looks like she was getting the gear off after a mission, has just kind of taken a seat and is almost like staring at you.
Something on my face?
Suggest no sign language.
Ooh. Probably rudimentary stuff. Like he would know his ABCs. Maybe like, hello, how are you?
She gestures something at Sky. I did say she wasn't much of a talker.
Oh.
She says thank you.
I apologize for my rudeness. And you're welcome.
She smiles at that.
And he smiles back, and it's a genuine smile.
You guys want a drink? Anything?
No, thank you.
Cool.
So, tell me more about this. And Jace gestures to the map.
We asked some of the kids a few things about what they remember of home, and using some of my contacts, we did a bit more digging into disappearances and places where something terrible happened. A lot of these kids are from Speyer in Germany. A riot happened and a lot of kids, they lost their families, and then Sarah picked them up.
That's tragic.
Trying our best to give them somewhere among friends. I mean, you saw it. It's not great, but...
but it's something. And just so that we're clear, I am not saying that God Ranger is going to come in, swoop in, and take over the operation. Not at all. But we can give you funding, supplies, transportation. We can help you help these children. That is my goal in this.
Both of them are nodding, and Iris signs something again to Sky, and she says, I just think it's great.
It's Aiden that we've got to convince.
I'm going to try and not speak out of turn here. Something happened to Aiden related to all this. And she kind of holds her hands up defensively like you were doing earlier. I mean, no offense by this.
Of course.
From his recollection and the recollection of several silenced people, the God Rangers were involved.
Involved in what?
Bridge War.
What?
There was this idea that people could be bound to artifacts of ancient civilizations, artifacts of power. Could them be strapped to kits? And as I'm sure you can guess, Sterile was involved.
Are you saying, and I'm not, I just want to understand, are you saying that there is a belief that God Ranger was involved in the weaponization of children?
No, I was getting to the point where they stepped in. Sorry. Probably should have left with that.
Did they step in to stop it?
They stepped in to stop it. But weren't aware of what they'd done to the kids. What they could do if they felt at all threatened.
I see. Words cannot express my sorrow.
He said he doesn't blame any of you, but it's tough to believe that with how he acts.
Irrational hatred, unfortunately, is a thing in this world. You can know something up, down, left, and right, but still deceive yourself into thinking something else.
This guy nods, and that is kind of the squeal of the handle as Adrian steps back in. So what, you want to bankroll all these kids, get them back to their families? Yeah?
We don't want to take the operation from you. What you're doing is noble and good. We just want to assist. Whether that means money, resources, transportation. This is an incredible case that I can put before the council, and we can help you. But do not think for a second I want to take this from you. This is an incredible work that you three have put together. You should be proud.
Fine. My one request is, Iris and Sky were never involved. This was all me. I stole money from the bad people of Halcyon City. And then you stick by your word and do what you can. And maybe I don't have to get locked up again.
I swear on my honor that this will be so. And he holds out his hand to shake.
He considers it for a moment, looks back over at Sky and Iris, and not looking at you, shakes it.
Good. We are going to go back and report what we have found to the council, and then urge them to assist. And hopefully, I will be able to get something back to you quickly, within a few days at the very latest. Once this operation comes to light, I believe that the council will want to move quickly to assist you.
So, heading off now then?
Yes, unless you have something else that you'd like to share.
Whatever I would say would just be unfair on you.
I understand. And he opens the door to let Amaterasu out first. And as he goes to close it, pauses for a second and looks over his shoulder. You know, I'm really sorry about what happened. Things were intense. There had been threats against my family, and I made assumptions. And I'm sorry.
It's fine. You've done us a solid day. I won't hold it against you.
Walk in the light. And Jace closes the door.
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the new episode of Fifth Watch. Just jumping in as often to give you our high tide recommendations, give you where you can find us, and a little bit of scheduling update. So I hope you're enjoying the kind of one-on-one session that I had with Alan. We've got one coming up with Melissa that I'm very excited for certain people to hear. We've been doing a few kind of chopping and changing with casts as it kind of comes up and is necessary, and I actually really enjoy the one-on-one, smaller cast, about as much as I do with the full cast. Editing's a lot easier on these ones though. So hopefully you like this kind of format. For scheduling stuff, with the holidays finally over, we're kind of getting back into the rhythm, which means that the next episode of Fifth Watch won't be until February 9th, just so that we can get back onto our regular schedule. Sorry for the wait, but hey, it means I'll have it all edited. That's a plus. Just wanted to make sure that you guys knew what was going on. So, for the regular business stuff, if you'd like to find the Lost Library on the internet, you're on Twitter at Lost Library Cast. You can hit us up with an email using lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com, and you can find the entire Fifth Draw family of podcasts at fifthdraw.com. As ever, our music is Save the World by Cambo. As has been for episode 4, our high-tide recommendation is Urugar's Forge of Creation. Every couple of weeks, Benny will sit down with a guest, roll on several impressively long tables, and use that as a jumping-off point to create a fantasy race or a history for a fantasy race. As I said before, I find it super fascinating to listen to how people go through the creative process, and it's incredible for inspiration if you're, I don't know, writing a story, doing a D&D campaign. So if you want to go and check that out, you can find them on Twitter at UrugarsFOC and have a look at your favourite podcatcher. I'm sure they're on there. So with all that said, I'll let you get back into the episode. So we join Mitch in Mr. Zemeckis' physics class. You've returned back to school after the events of yesterday, which have been taxing. So, I don't know, maybe it's nice to just like jump back into the mundanity of dealing with a subject you have no interest in.
Mm-hmm. What's Mitch going to do with the physics?
So Mr. Z is up there doing a big physics talk. You can tell I don't remember physics myself. That's what happens when you're a drama kid. The class is interrupted by the door to the classroom opening, and entering in is kind of a middling height man, close brown cropped hair, and wearing a lab coat. Mr. Z immediately starts trying to talk him down, and the man just kind of stands in front of him while he's being berated about interrupting class and who are you, and looks to you like he's just kind of hands at his side, like typing at a keyboard. Physics class. Oh, there we are. And Mr. Z just goes still and drops. The man catches him and then kind of waltzes him over to his chair, just kind of drops him into it. You notice that around you, all of your classmates are just dropped down, heads on desks or heads lolling back. Oh, Mr. Carver, thank you so much for giving me the time. I won't take up too much of it.
You'd better not. I've got history in 12 minutes. What do you need? Why all of this? This is a lot. You can just call me to the principal's office.
I'm afraid I don't have that power, seeing it's, you know, not a part of the curriculum. I actually came to you with an apology.
Yeah?
I'm very sorry if I ruined prom for you. Your mask friend, he had a bit of a moment back there. So I would just like to formally apologize for causing that. And I hope you might be able to answer some questions for me.
Mitch is struck. Prom not going the way he thought it would go still affects him. He had really built it up in his young teen mind as this beautiful romantic night, and he didn't quite get it. So he is sincerely affected, but also like, excuse me, who are you? What do you have to do with me and my mask friend? What do you want?
I'll go by sterile in some circles, but you can call me Johan.
Okay.
Again, I just wanted to apologize and ask you, did Kranos make anything?
I made them something.
I mean, post having a bit of a moment.
I remember steel. I remember strong, warm arms. I remember all of that getting ruined. I don't remember a thing being made. I don't know what you're talking about.
Experiments had to be made, and I was curious if something they made could affect them.
I'm the crafty one in the relationship. I don't know why you need to know this about them. What are you going to do with this? What is this for?
This is just for me.
You're going to take this home to your lair. Presumably you have a lair. You're not a person who just has like a condo. You're going to go home to your lair and you're just going to think about our prom night and our craftiness. Huh? What's the end result in this?
I am simply curious if what I did to them would have triggered any memories, and if they were able to supplant those memories into a psychic construct that I know that they can create. That's it. But if they didn't remember anything, I have no further questions.
Kronos is shaken. I can't tell if they've remembered anything extra from their past. If they've remembered anything, they're going to tell me when they're ready. And it's my responsibility, my privilege as a friend to wait patiently until that time.
I thought I'd given you enough time. If that is the case, then I guess you can enjoy your physics class.
Nobody enjoys physics class.
Fair call. And the way this is going to go, because the human mind is so fascinating, these people are just going to think that they might have nodded off during class. I hope you let them have that fantasy.
Why wouldn't I? You know, a nap is always going to be better than lab coat weirdo wandering in and knocking over all your study buddies. But don't think this isn't going to come without any kind of repercussions.
Oh, I know. Your team will try to hunt me down. But just know, and he looks around at the classroom in general, at all of the students, I can do this to everyone on campus. And do you not think that I'm going to use that as protection? I've thought this through very well. But once again, I thank you for your time. Have a good rest of the day.
All right. You too.
He walks out, and almost as soon as the door closes, like, activity kind of bursts all around you, people pulling their heads up, Mr. Z standing up and just resuming his class as though nothing had happened.
Mitch pulls out his phone. You know, no, it was probably already there. What am I talking about? He gets on his phone. He sends one text to Kronos saying, hey, is it all right if we talk next time? You feel like it next time you're free? He sends one text to the group saying, possible new intel on a threat? ? Sleepy face. And he goes online and he orders a ton of caffeine pills because this guy can't make him fall asleep if his body is entirely caffeine. It's not a great plan, but it's the one he's got right now until he can go talk to the rest of the team.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.